Years after his playing days ended, a former athlete called his old coach from medical school, exhausted, overwhelmed, ready to quit. But in his darkest moment, he heard a familiar voice pushing him forward, not with new words, but with echoes from practices long past. That coach was John O'Sullivan, and this moment changed everything he thought he knew about coaching. Here's the uncomfortable truth. Fewer than 1 in 5 coaches receive any training in motivation or communication, despite these being what athletes want most. Yet every word spoken, every drill designed, every moment on the field creates ripples that can last decades. The question isn't whether you'll leave an impression. It's whether that impression will build young people up or quietly break them down in ways that echo through their entire lives. When Steve Kerr took the Golden State Warriors job, Pete Carroll revealed a blind spot. Kerr hadn't identified his core values. Carroll explained that copying someone else's philosophy creates hollow coaching. Kerr identified 4 principles: joy, competitiveness, compassion, and mindfulness. He built everything around them: fast-paced practices with music, concise sessions, coaches who genuinely connected with players. The result? 3 championships in 5 years. Joe Ehrman's purpose statement: I coach to help boys become men of empathy and integrity who will lead, be responsible, and change the world for good, serves as his compass for every decision. Without such clarity, coaching becomes haphazard, focused on winning at all costs. Sports-specific knowledge accounts for only 10-20% of coaching. The remaining 80-90% involves understanding the unique person in front of you. Steve Kerr manages Steph Curry's overwhelming demands differently than the 14th man fighting to stay in the NBA. After Belgium's disappointing Euro 2000 performance, Chris Vanderhagen implemented revolutionary changes. Kids needed to fall in love with the game before learning it. They scrapped traditional formats for 2-versus-2 matches, promoting creativity, eliminated standings until age 14, ensured 50% playing time, and mandated practices be 70-80% games-based. Belgium now ranks among FIFA's top teams. To become more athlete-centric, ask athletes, "One thing I wish my coaches knew about me that would help them coach me better is..." This reveals struggles with divorce, illness, homelessness, even suicidal thoughts. End every player meeting like Karch Corelli does. How can I be better for you? Messiah College has won 16 NCAA Division III soccer championships since 2000, yet trophies aren't what drives them. Their secret? Unity around a higher purpose, with players treating soccer as a worship experience. Coach Scott Frey emphasizes that learning about yourself, forming lasting friendships, and helping others succeed makes everything worthwhile. Similarly, Anson Dorrance's Carolina Way inspires players to leave the jersey in better condition than they found it, helping them win 22 of 24 national finals. Sport naturally develops performance character: grit, resilience, self-discipline. But moral character, integrity, respect, caring, requires intentional focus. Research shows elite athletes often score higher in ruthlessness and callousness, revealing what Joe Ehrman calls something leukemic in American sports. When Nate Baldwin became youth sports programmer for Appleton Parks and Recreation in 2015, he found declining participation. By embracing inclusivity, skill development, and lifelong enjoyment rather than just high school competition, participation exploded. Baseball and softball up 91%, basketball up 112%. Volunteer coaching improved dramatically, from 28 vacancies across 80 soccer teams to just 8 across 117 teams. When organizations embrace purpose-driven approaches, families return. The question becomes, what's your team's higher purpose beyond winning? Watch most youth sports practices and you'll see kids standing in lines, performing isolated techniques without defenders, accumulating 500 touches. Coaches celebrate these repetitions, missing one crucial question: how many decisions did players make? Without decision-making elements, defenders, or directional challenges that mimic game conditions, technical development occurs, but skill development doesn't. Most sports operate in wicked environments: dynamic, constantly changing, unpredictable. Yet coaches create kind practices that are predictable and rule-based. Todd Bean rejects separating technical training from skill development because players must perceive situations, conceive solutions, decide, deceive opponents, execute technically, and assess choices, all in milliseconds. Creating effective learning requires appropriate resistance, like adding weight in strength training. Growth happens at the edge of abilities, slightly outside comfort zones. Research reveals approaches that create sticky learning, skills that remain accessible when needed. Interleaving mixes various techniques in game-like settings rather than endless repetition. Spacing allows time for forgetting between sessions, forcing the brain to struggle when recalling skills. Desirable difficulties make learning challenging but manageable. Baseball players who hit randomized pitches showed significantly greater improvement than those practicing in blocked sets, despite appearing less proficient during practice. The most effective learning strategies often appear least impressive short term. When coaches incorporate desirable difficulties and allow athletes to struggle through recall, parents complain. But evidence proves slow learning with struggle creates effective long-term development. When coaches constantly shout instructions from the sideline, they're stealing reps from athletes, like a spotter who takes over a weightlifter's bar instead of providing minimal assistance. In 1995, Cindy Timchell's Maryland women's lacrosse program built a culture where practice intensity made games feel easier, resulting in 7 consecutive NCAA championships, 1995 to 2001, tying John Wooden's Division I record. The distinction is crucial. Winners obsess over outcomes and uncontrollables, becoming tight and tense. Competitors focus on process, control the controllables, and play with confidence. Pete Carroll exemplifies this. "I'm a competitor, not focused on being the best, but on competing relentlessly." Anson Dorrance's UNC women's soccer created a competitive cauldron, recording and publicly posting results of every activity. April Heinrichs embodied his ideal. She competed without remorse and wanted to win everything, elevating everyone around her. Equally vital is Kaizen, the Japanese concept of continuous improvement through small gains. The All Blacks rugby team demonstrated how 1% improvements accumulate into dominance, winning 92% of games and consecutive World Cup championships. To establish competitive culture, use shorter, high-intensity activities. The Portland Thorns start with 4-minute scrimmages at maximum intensity, gradually extending duration. Play last goal wins to prevent coasting. Most importantly, hold everyone to the same standards. That which you don't condemn, you condone. Over 70% of children quit sports by age 13. Yet Norway, a nation of 5.3 million, won 39 medals at the 2018 Winter Olympics. Their secret? A joy of sport for all philosophy, banning national championships before age 13. When researchers asked children why they play sports, "it's fun" topped the list. Of 81 fun characteristics, winning ranked 48th. What mattered most? Trying your best, respectful coaches, playing time, and team camaraderie. Early specialization backfires. Specialized children were 70 to 93% more likely to be injured than multi-sport athletes. Specialization destroys intrinsic motivation, what sports scientist Joe Baker calls the currency of skill acquisition. USA Hockey's 2009 reforms, cross-ice play for younger players, eliminating body checking in under-12 championships, boosted retention from 50% to 91%. Make athletes feel valued, offer individual encouragement, create post-practice shout-out circles, and write personal notes acknowledging specific positive behaviors. Start by changing just 10%, then build from there. As 3-time NCAA champion coach Aaron Quinn notes, championship euphoria is fleeting. The real reward comes from relationships, integrity, and shared values. O'Sullivan once arrogantly believed he knew everything, until witnessing accomplished coaches like Anson Dorrance eagerly taking notes at lectures. Rob Miller saw 93-year-old John Wooden requesting notes at a presentation because, "it's good stuff, I need it for the next team I am going to coach." The New Zealand All Blacks say, "be a good ancestor, plant trees you will never see." You're coaching the next generation of coaches. Your influence on one athlete today may impact thousands in the future. When Cindy Timchel led Naval Academy to the 2017 NCAA Final Four, the other three teams were all coached by her former players. To be a better coach, you must be a better you, which requires finding balance. Take time off, exercise, sleep, eat well, and prioritize family. Many top coaches' biggest regrets aren't about failing to win championships, they regret missing time with loved ones. Anson Dorrance honors senior players with roses during NCAA tournaments, reminding them that athletic glory lasts about as long as a cut rose in a jar. Coaching gives us the privilege to influence more people in one season than most do in a lifetime. Every word and action truly matters.